I am the bread of life. That's what Jesus said. We're talking about what Jesus said about himself. And we're wanting to study the words of Christ because we want to have the mind of Christ. Let this Christ, or let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And knowing the words of Jesus is one of the most powerful things in our lives to understand the rest of the scriptures. Do we read all the Bible here at the North Shore Christian Center? Absolutely. Whatever's written in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets is fulfilled in the life of Christ. So let's carry on with talking about who Jesus said he was. His words about himself. He said he was the bread of life. That's found in John chapter 6 and verse 35. And it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. You know, wherever Jesus was talking and teaching, you know, the people were always scratching their heads like, we don't understand that. In John chapter 6, just down a few verses, 13 verses, in verse 48, Jesus said again, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I don't need the monitor. It's kind of echoey. I am the living bread, verse 51, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. I will give it for the life of the world. Jesus said he was the bread of life. And you know, the people that he was speaking to understood about that because of the manna that they were told about that was sent from heaven to sustain them as they wandered in the wilderness. And they endured the hardships of not having food and water in the wilderness because God's divine provision. Do you know how long they ate this miraculous bread that came down from heaven every night? Pardon me? 40 years. 40 years they ate the bread from heaven. They weren't all that happy all the time with it, but nevertheless, God gave it to them to sustain them while they were on their journey to the land which he had promised Abraham. The land that they were going to have for their own. So it was through that journey that the bread of life came from heaven to sustain them. So when Jesus was saying that, I'm the bread of life, he's saying, I'm that bread that come from down from heaven, just as Christ came down from heaven to sustain you, to strengthen you, and to bring you life. And like the manna from heaven, it's a daily bread. Amen? As Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. This is the bread he was talking about. The bread from heaven. The word of God. That Bible that you have. Did you know the Lord didn't, you know, he makes things a certain way for a purpose. The manna that came down from heaven when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, it was only good for one day, except on Fridays. But otherwise, if they didn't gather it right away, it wouldn't be any of any value. They had to get their sustenance every day. just as you and I have been taught, now we learn that how important it is for our life to have that bread, the Word of God, the sustenance for our spiritual beings. And without it, of course, we can't survive. We die of starvation, or the spirit dies of starvation. So it had an expiry date. I'm not going to say the Bible has an expiry date. I'm just going to say it's incumbent upon us, although it does. It does. Have a purpose for us to have every day so that we can sustain ourselves. So, if you want to eat, you have to go and gather it. And you have to grind it up. They put it in the mill. They ground it up. They made cakes with it. And it had a wonderful taste to it. But it was to give them sustenance so they could carry on their journey of faith. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." In John chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks this water shall thirst again," talking to the woman at the well. "But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That refreshing, wonderful water that we have alive in us. Next thing that we want to look at is that Jesus said or taught that I am your Lord and Master. And in John chapter 13 and verse 13, he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." And you know, Jesus was teaching his disciples at this point. He said, Jesus said that after he had washed the disciples' feet. And the lesson was, and what he said to them, is if I do this as your Lord, you ought to do to one another. You know, Peter, when he came to Peter and he was washing their feet, Peter said, "You're washing my feet?" And he said, "Well, you don't know right now what I'm doing, but you will know." And Peter said, "No. You're not going to wash my feet. I mean, you're Messiah." I think there's an important thing that we need to stop and get from that. I think many of us would possibly react in the same way if we'd seen the miracles and signs and things that Christ did. But he said to them, or he said to Peter, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me." And then Peter's finally getting the picture as usual, later than everybody else. He said, "Not just my feet, Lord, but all of me." Amen? But Jesus came to serve. As we will in a future time speak about what he said about his purpose on, during his time here. So Christ, what we see happening when Jesus washing his feet is that he was preparing them for leadership. He said, "I'm your leader, I'm washing your feet. If I, as your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." In other words, if you're going to be a leader, you need to have the heart of a servant. Should I repeat that? You know, I think we know that, but we never really speak those things sometimes out loud. But that's so important for us to understand. I mean, many people want to be of service, want to be do great things for the Lord. And so the lesson we can learn tonight is that learn to serve. In serving, the Lord will teach you to lead. And everybody that wanted to be a servant said, amen. Amen. Yes. Some would believe it's symbolic of the cleansing power of Christ and perhaps even the preparing of the sacrifice that they did in the days of the tabernacle by washing it in the laver first. And yes, perhaps there are some things like that, but personally I've taught it that way. But I believe that he was giving an example of leadership because he told them to follow his example and do what he was doing. So, of course, that they weren't to wash sins away themselves or prepare other sacrifices. They were just to prepare themselves for leadership. And he was about to go, and he wanted them to be able to carry on the work that he started. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27 says, "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." So Jesus saying elsewhere in the scriptures what we have gleaned from this scripture. In verse 28 of Matthew 20, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to," not to be served, "but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming here to serve. You know, the Jews were looking for someone that was going to come in robes and royal apparel and be seated on the throne and establish the kingdom of Israel. And so when Jesus came and said that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, they couldn't receive it. You know, he didn't have any wardrobe. He was born to a carpenter and he worked as a carpenter. He had nothing. And yet he was the King of all kings. But it's those things that often we're blinded by because we have our mindset to look for something. But the Lord revealed himself to us, not just as a man, but lowly as a man. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, again, speaking to the Lord and Master, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Again, he reiterates that in Matthew, three chapters later. And verse 12 says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So the lesson at foot washing, of course, is to serve one another. And Jesus not only told us to do that, but in this particular instance, he showed us. He revealed himself. God from heaven stooped and washed the dirty, filthy feet of men from Galilee and that area, common fishermen. How great you are, Lord, and how beyond our understanding, and how, once again, the scripture that Isaiah said, "Your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are so far higher than my thoughts." Teach me, Lord. I love to speak like that to the Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me your word. As I open up the Bible, show me. Teach me something. I'm a student. I'm wanting to learn. So whosoever will exalt himself shall be abased. This is the Lord's way. And he that humble himself shall be exalted. Next we see one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. When Jesus said in John chapter 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said those words about himself. It was his own witness and testimony of his life and his purpose. And there's so much crossover. It says, so John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So let's look at it. I am the way. You know, when Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life, that he was the way, you know, he's not saying, he didn't say, I can teach you how to get to the way or to find the way, or I can show you the way. He said, that's who I am. That is my being. That is how you can describe who I am. Who is Jesus? He's the way. It's so far above what we would ever think of saying. We might say, do you know the way so-and-so place? Yes, it's that way. Or you go down there, three blocks, turn left, right? But Jesus said, I am the way. Hallelujah. He's the way because no one comes to the Father but by him. So where is the way? The way to what? It tells us. He told us. Jesus is the way. Come on, guys. Did you have a rough day? The way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. He was the way to God. I mean, you think about it. No, there was no way to God. Before Christ, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once every year for the sins of himself and the people with a rope tied around his ankle because if he did something, just one little thing wrong, he'd die and they'd have to drag him out. But Jesus is the way for you and I to approach God, the creator of all things. Hallelujah. Let's look a little further. So the only way to gain access to the God of creation is through Jesus Christ. Come on, this is important because if you're ever discussing salvation with somebody else, there is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't accept part of the Bible, not accept this scripture. This scripture is profound. It's out there. It's in your face. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Not through good works or deeds. Not through some other god or idol or you know, some sense of righteousness. It's through Jesus Christ. And if you're going to access the Father through Jesus Christ, you need to know who he is. You can't accept part of him and reject part of him. You either accept Christ or reject Christ. And that's the problem with the world today. They want a nice, happy medium. Give me a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I call it the religious smorgasbord. So, you know, if you want a church that meets on Thursday nights only, someone will start one for you. There's a smorgasbord of churches out there. You get whatever you want. The only thing you don't get is Jesus. Because he's made a way. Because he is the way. What was the first event that took place when Jesus died on the cross? Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. The veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. As soon as he gave up the ghost, as the Bible says, died on the cross, his life was over. The way into the Holy of Holies, where the high priest only, not anybody but the high priest, not the secondary priest or not the other priest or not the service priest, just the high priest once a year. It was open. Glory, hallelujah. What a miraculous, powerful thing that we can do. We have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. You can go boldly to the throne of grace. So the first events that took place was the veil was rent in twain. Jesus is the way. It had to be opened. Glory, hallelujah. The truth. The next part of what Jesus said. John chapter 18 and verse 37 says these words. Jesus said these words. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, the truth. The truth. The purpose of which we will look at in the future. What he said about his purpose was to bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. What a strange thing to say. And he was saying this to Pilate, right? Pilate had no idea what he was talking about. In fact, Pilate said, what is truth? But Jesus had just told him. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Think about it for a second. Just stop and let that go over your thoughts. Think about that just for a minute. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So Jesus speaks of the truth as though it is its own essence. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. It's like it's a truth nation. It's like a specific language or custom, unless you've learned or by birth have understanding of the language and custom of a people, you're a foreigner and an alien. Would you agree with that? Santa, would you say in your language, it's a nice evening to go for a walk? It's a nice evening to go for a walk.
In Japanese.
I know how to say it in English, so I don't know how to say it in Japanese. Really? How many believe that that's what she really said? Why would you believe that? Did you understand that?
No.
You don't have a clue what she really said unless you can speak Japanese, right? How about that? She could be telling you're all a bunch of crazy nuts gathering here. But we love her. We trust her, and she's of the truth, and that's a very good answer. Good for you, sister. So Jesus was literally to understand that, we can make that comparison, that unless we're all Japanese, we're not going to hear and therefore not understand what Santa is saying. And that's the way the truth came to this world. And that's why Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone that has that, of that truth language and that truth custom, they understand, they hear my voice. If I go to my sister's country, I'm a foreigner. I'm an alien. You know, I'm sure that they think the things that I do, the way I do it, are funny, incomprehensible. But to her own people, it's fine. In order for us to know the truth, or divine truth, we must be born of that truth. I want to make a really important point for you tonight. You don't just know the truth or truthfulness. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about that is his essence. If you have Christ, you can't lie. Beloved brothers and sisters, you can't be deceitful. You can't tell a little white lie. You can't fib. Not if you're of the truth. So in order for us to know the truth, in order for us to understand the truth, we would need to be born into that language and custom. If we are not of the truth, we cannot understand the truth. Would you believe that's pretty simple to understand, right? If you're not of the truth, you can't understand the truth. And that's really what happened in the minds of men when Jesus came and spoke the truth. They couldn't understand it. And I have a wonderful scripture to illustrate that too coming up. So I want to put this forth to you tonight. The truth is the language of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth. I'm not saying anything about, you know, that we don't believe in speaking in other tongues or prophesying or speaking another language. I'm saying that the language of the Spirit is the truth. Doesn't matter what dialect it might come in, the language is the truth. Amen? I want to say that because what some of the things that are misunderstood about the church is that you can live any way you like and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, will be a part of moving in your life. That is a lie, and that's the beginning of a road to deception where you will not have fellowship. In fact, you'll grieve the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Truth because your life and your heart and your mind have separated themselves from that. So truth is the language of the Spirit. It's truth in the inward parts. As we learn from the Old Testament, it's that truth today that causes the Holy Ghost to do work in our lives. Many people don't receive the Holy Ghost, or they don't receive it right away. And I was one of those because there was no openness. There has to be a truthfulness in our inward parts. There has to be an honesty and an openness and a true repentance that comes to us so that we can be clean and make a place for that Spirit to dwell. Amen. And to be able to communicate with the Spirit of truth. I've seen it many times. And I thank the Lord that the Holy Ghost doesn't just go into everyone. And there's been people right in this church who tried for years to receive the Holy Ghost, never did. And neither should they have, as time would tell. Because there was no truth on the inward parts. There was a facade, a religious part of our nature allowed to conduct itself openly, but there was no truth in the inward parts. And so the Lord rejected filling the person with the Holy Ghost. And I want to say this to you too, those of you that pray for other people to receive the Holy Ghost. Don't get them to talk like you talk. You miss the whole point. And they have such a poor experience because of you. You don't need that. That's you who wants to see them filled with the Holy Ghost. But God, don't you think God wants to fill them with the Holy Ghost? Don't you think that that's the one of the most desirable things for Him is to fill them? But sometimes He has to take the time and prepare the heart, break it down, break down the thoughts of the mind, open us up, pry us open like a can of sardines, whatever it takes in your life. That the Lord can make you humble in His presence so that the truth can come and we receive it with open arms. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And only the know, listen to me, only the Lord knows that. That's our personal relationship. So I want to say that if you're praying something, let the Lord do His work. Yes. He is so able. Yes. And I've told you many times how I received the Holy Ghost. It was a year after I'd had my hands laid on me. I was by myself kneeling down and I saw a vision, a picture and a word. And my mind knew that if I said that word, I wouldn't be able to shut my mouth after that. Can you believe that? I'm thankful for my, and people have had so many amazing experiences. How they receive the Holy Ghost or visions or whatever. The Lord is awesome. And He wants to give us these supernatural experiences in our lives. Let's not diminish them. And one way to diminish them is to say, people pray for the Holy Ghost, just go la la da da do do boo boo. No, that's not right. That's wrong. Because you're taking away His glory. Because that's something you want. But He wants it more than you want it, beloved. I say let Him have His power, His way. I just touch people and say, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Yes. It's up to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Would you agree with that? Yes. Lord dealt with my life a long time. I guess I was pretty messed up. Some people get it like instantaneously. My lovely wife, she didn't have any problem, I don't think. Well, you know, we wore her down after like 4 or 5 hours, but and everybody else abandoned her except for James Cox. Who knows that James is a stubborn man? And he kept praying and praying. Am I right? Am I recalling that right? Oh. We're talking about the truth here, though. You want to straighten me out then? Yeah, it was an open Bible in the basement. And Jim was praying with you, right?
Every person left the prayer room except
you. Oh, thank you. Was I? Yeah. Service was starting. And my maturity level was pretty low in those days. Okay. All those things I said about James, just forget it. I'm sure he was there. Well, he must have been the last one then before I left. I still shake her. Yeah. That's the Lord, right? He said there's in the last days is going to be a shaking. Must mean people are going to get the Holy Ghost. Let's finish this, please. So the Lord wants truth in the inward parts. Beloved, if we really want to have a relationship, really want to have the Lord speak to us, there has to be an openness in our hearts. There has to be truth in it, and we have to ask the Lord for that. Lord, you know, get the reins of my heart. Show me the things that shouldn't be there. Let me see the things that I do that displease you so that I can quickly ask you to forgive my sin. So that I can be free. So it causes the Holy Ghost to do a work in our lives, and that work never stops. So, but if we are deceitful, we will be deceived. For the Spirit of truth cannot lead us in the way of truth. John chapter 15 and verse 1 says, I am the true vine. Again, another, I am. And my Father is the husbandman, the true vine. Why? Just like in the day of Christ, as he taught this lesson, so it is now in the world. The world is full of false ministers, liars. They speak lies. They reject all the forms of truth. And we need the truth now, of course, more than ever before. John chapter 8 and verse 39 to verse 47. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Abraham wouldn't have done that. You do the deeds of your father. He's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish hierarchy. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we're not born of fornication. Referring to the virgin birth. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. I love Jesus. I love the way he said what he said. Did you know that he had so much power? He could have erased them, taken their breath away with a thought. But he said, if you were, you would love me. Thank you, Jesus. You'd love me because if I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. The truth. That was the truth. But mainstream, established religion based on the knowledge of God of the Old Testament, rejected God's own truth. Think, if you think about it, it's astounding. How is it possible that these educated, lifelong educated people who knew the Word, who knew God's ways, who knew the prophecies concerned, how could they possibly miss and not acknowledge the way that Jesus was speaking to them? That he was the truth. Verse 43 says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And that word was truth. They could not receive the truth. Think about it. It's true. They could not receive his speech. Or understand his speech and receive it because they did not want the truth. They didn't understand the truth. They weren't born of the truth. And then he said to them, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. Now he's causing problems. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, because they wanted to kill him. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. You got it? He abode not in the truth. He lost his habitation in heaven because of sin and abode no longer in the truth. The devil does not know the truth. Say that with me tonight. The devil does not know the truth, but you are born of the truth. Amen. The truth is in you. Yes. Jesus is in you. You speak the truth. Amen. The devil doesn't understand it, and neither does the world, except the Lord takes the blindness that Satan has put upon their minds. He abode not in truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Every liar. That's where it came from. Everyone who tells a lie, and that goes for you, that lie came from the devil. Not from heaven, not from God, not from yourself. From the devil, the originator of sin. Yep. Is it easy to be influenced by the devil? Absolutely. In fact, the only way that you can resist influence by the devil is know the way, the truth, and the life. That's why we need to repent. Lord, I've not walked in the truth. Lord, I've not spoken the truth. Lord, I've rejected the truth spoken to my own life. I want to receive all that you have to give. And if it conflicts with my thinking about my own life, my own way, and the things that I do, I still want to know the truth so I can be changed. So he speaks a lie, he speaks of alone, he's a liar and the father of lies. Which means, of course, he's giving birth to other lies. It's just a stream, a world filled with lies. And you could say they're absent of the truth. And they don't understand it. And they look at you, and if you speak the truth to them, the days are coming where they'll want to do just like they did with Jesus. They'll want to kill you. And then he said to them, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. You don't believe me just because I'm telling you the truth. And of course, they don't understand. So the truth is a completely beyond their comprehension. Then he said to them, which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? The lies, the deceit, the darkness, the blindness. Hallelujah. How many know when they came to Christ, their eyes were open. Something happened. There was a light that shone in the darkness, and bingo! Hallelujah! I'm alive. Yes. Yeah. I see things as they are. It's like you've got all the things taken away. You see things for what it is. Sin is sin. Righteousness is righteousness. Is that not true?